Everyone keeps asking me how's the bubble or how's it going. I just say it's 2020. Nothing is normal in 2020.
I feel like this is going to be the toughest championship you could ever win.
Showtime!
I'm here for one goal, and that's to win a championship.
Oh, Russell Westbrook!
It feels like a new season.
He's inhuman!
We're going to get the job done.
That, my friends, is Luka Magic!
We're on a mission, all of us here.
Let's not come out here and take the easy way out.
Oh, Pascal!
Yeah. Nobody in the stands, it's all competition.
At the end of the day, it's all about winning the championship.
Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols coming to you live from ESPN's Wide World of Sports Complex at Walt Disney World, Lake Buena Vista, Florida. This is the home of the National Basketball Association until a champion is crowned. And I am here courtside as the NBA restart officially kicks back off tonight, finally. I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, Tracy McGrady, and NBA champ, Kendrick Perkins.
Hey, Rachel, hold on, before you start, I want to say I'm disappointed that you didn't have me on the show with the all-time great Magic Johnson when he gave me that shout-out, Rachel. He made that was my day right there. He made my day. But listen, in all honesty, I want to say I want to give a special shout out to Magic for the shout out, and also to the whole ESPN family for allowing old Texas country boy to come up here and talk basketball. I appreciate y'all for providing me with this opportunity.
I don't even want to hear all that. All I know, you better have that top 10 list today. You back on the show,
man. No, I already had it. We're not even talking about that today.
We'll get into that. We're going to get into so much other stuff. We're also going to have the latest update, guys, on Zion status for tonight's game between the Pelicans and Jazz. Zion told me yesterday he really would like to play, but should he? We will discuss that. First, though, it's time for a little back to basketball brought to you by Google. The NBA officially back tonight, and as the man once said, all eyes are going to be on the nightcap of the doubleheader with the Lakers and Clippers squaring off here in the bubble. Anthony Davis says he does expect to play despite getting poked in the eye during a scrimmage on Saturday. The Clippers, though, will be without core players Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and Patrick Beverley is questionable for tonight. Remember, just before everything shut down, the Lakers beat the Clippers. Now, 4 months later, there's so much to be settled because, again, the Clippers still have the advantage, Tracy, in the season series. Remember, they won the first two games, opening night, Christmas Day. Then the Lakers look like they're chipping back away at it right before the shutdown. But then we have a four-month break. So two teams, a lot of people think they're going to meet in the Western Conference Finals. Mac, which one's under more pressure out here to win, the Lakers or Clippers?
Well, I look at the Lakers and how their roster is constructed. I mean, you have a guy in his 17th year who's arguably the best player still in our game in LeBron James. Time is not on his side. He has to get it done this year, and this is just tailor-made for him to get it done. I think Anthony Davis is the best teammate that LeBron has ever played with. I don't think you have another duo that's first-team All-NBA with the two of them. And let's not forget the motivation that they have before the pandemic and you know, how 2020 started off and us losing our brother, Kobe Bryant, who is the forever great Laker with five championships. And that's what he wanted for, you know, LeBron James and this Lakers team. So that's their extra added motivation. LeBron and those guys had picked it up. They found their niche before the pandemic, playing great basketball. And I just think, you know, with them having 4 months off, LeBron in the past 10 years has never had the opportunity to go through a season and take a break, you know, for the journey that he goes on. I mean, this guy always is playing it until June. So with that being said, it is tailor-made for the Lakers to get this done. That's why they have a lot of pressure on them.
Well, Mac, I agree with you to a certain extent. I believe a lot of pressure is on Anthony Davis, but I don't think the pressure is on the Los Angeles Lakers. A lot of the Los Angeles Lakers got rings. they don't have pressure on winning championships. Now, when you look over to the Los Angeles Clippers, they the ones who got pressure. One, they got to make a stance that they're not the little brother no more to the Los Angeles Lakers. Two, they don't have that many people on their team that got a ring. It's only one guy, Kawhi Leonard. So they're trying, a lot of guys are trying to get their ring for the first time. So the pressure is on the Clippers. They got a deep team. They have zero excuses. And my thing is with the Clippers is that I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the guys that they have for us with being too deep. Are guys are going to be able to sacrifice? That's it's easier said when done. Like, guys can say they'll do it, but when you get on the court and you're not getting your 12 to 15 shot attempts like you're accustomed to getting, then all of a sudden, are you still going to be all in? When I look at this Laker ball club, they have two stars and they have role players that fit in just fine. When I look at the Clippers, they're deep with a lot of firepower. And I just want to know who's going to take the back seat.
Bert.
But all that to be said, the pressure is on the L.A. Clippers, in my opinion, because it's zero.
How many titles the Clippers have in their franchise history?
They don't have none.
How many titles does the Lakers have?
Lots.
Right?
They have a lot.
All the greats that have come through the Lakers, Kareem, Jerry West, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, all have championships. LeBron James is an all-time great, one of the greatest, not the great. He has to win a championship. The pressure is on him. He's going to be in his 18th season next year at 36 years old. It's only going to get tougher. We don't know how that roster is going to be constructed next year. A lot of these guys are on one-year deals.
No, Mac. It's no pressure on LeBron to win the championship. If LeBron retires today without another championship, it's already cemented. He's one of the all-time greats, and he has rings. Listen, the pressure is on the Clippers to win a championship. The pressure is on them to bring a championship to the Clipper Nation that they haven't done, and they have the team to do it. I don't think the pressure is on the Los Angeles Lakers, in my opinion, especially not LeBron James, a three-time champion.
Well, Kendrick, I respect your opinion, but I got to weigh in with Tracy here. I think the expectations are on the Clippers because they've been the favorite of most pundits throughout the season. They are so deep. They are led by the reigning finals MVP. But the pressure being the window being so short that Tracy is talking about on the Lakers. Look, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to have multiple bites at the apple to win a title over the next 5 years. It is hard to see LeBron James having multiple bites at the apple on that. So therefore, in Orlando, and not to say his legacy, because Kendrick, you're 100% right. His legacy is set. But in terms of this team winning a title, it's just the window. The window is just so much smaller for them. So I don't know. I want to move on to Zion. Go ahead.
Rachel, we say that every year about him, and he keep proving us wrong.
Father time
do not exist with LeBron James. We might as well throw that out the window. He's going to be a Tom Brady of basketball.
LeBron is there to win a championship, bro. If he doesn't win a championship in that Laker uniform, it is a letdown. Trust me.
Well, I want to move on to Zion Williamson real quick because he is a game-time decision for the Pelicans game against the Jazz tonight. Coach Alvin Gentry said his status is uncertain. They're going to see what the medical staff thinks is going to be there. Williamson did not go into any kind of detail about the family medical emergency that forced him to exit the bubble, but he did say this last night when we were talking to him after practice about his motivation to play. Take a listen.
I think it's what me and my team are going to look for, like, what's best for me, for my future, and, you know, being safe. But if you know me, I want to hoop. That's just how I am. I'm never going to change. I'm going to want to hoop, as simple as that. I was gone for 7 to 8 days with, urgent family matters, and then I had to sit in a room for 4 days. So, you know, the NBA isn't something, you know, you can – usually just jump straight into, like, especially off of stuff like that. So I think, like I said, me and my team are going to look to see what's best and if I'm ready to go out there. Now, I don't know nobody that's going to say, no, I can only play 10, 15 minutes. Nah, I'll play the whole game if I have to. I'm just a hooper.
So, Perk, you can hear Zion kind of playing both sides, right? He's trying to be a good teammate, good employee of the Pelicans. They've certainly told him they want to play it safe and careful. And then you see in his face, he gives that line, he says the right thing, he says what he's supposed to say, and then he says, but I really want to hoop. Perk, should Zion play tonight?
Right.
Yeah, he could play. Listen, let that killer out the cage. Listen, T-Mac, you was a franchise guy, future Hall of Famer. I should have been a franchise guy, but Doc Rivers made me into a role player at an early age, right? I always tell him that. But listen, Zion Williamson, first of all, I am so impressed by his maturity level. He doesn't carry himself like a normal 20-year-old. That's first thing. But if he's ready to play, good luck to Alvin Gentry and David Griffin on trying to hold him back. Because T-Mac, you know like I know, as a franchise guy, if he put his foot down and say, I want to play, what they gonna say? And by the way, the Pelicans need him. These games are important. They are so much better with Zion on the court. They need him on the court to play starting tonight.
Nah, you know, I have to be cautious on this. You know, the kid hasn't played in a while. And, you know, he's already been hurt, injured this year. And to have 4 months off, then try to ramp it back up. I mean, that's tough on a guy that was dealing with injuries before the start of the season. This is your franchise guy that you're talking about. I mean, yes, they have a push to make to get into the playoffs, but it's really not that serious to risk your franchise, you know, player to put him out there for only 8 games to get in basketball shape. He's not in basketball shape. And I don't even know if he plays 6 games, I don't even know if that's enough. And you're talking about playing at the highest level of basketball when it gets to the playoffs, if they're lucky enough to make it in there. So I don't know if I'll chance it tonight, but I got to see how he responds after a hard practice.
Well Rachel and T-Mac, let me ask y'all a question. When is it going to be the right time for him to start playing? Because the way that the games are lined up, it's not going to be that many practices. So I'm trying to figure out when is the right time to start playing them.
Well, look, they've got a problem here in that the first few games they play are so critical to where they're going to end up in the seeding position. They play Utah tonight. They play the Clippers over the weekend. They probably have to win at least one of those games to still be in the race as you go into the week next week and try to get into that play-in game. So we will see. They say, of course, the next 10 years with Zion are more important than the next 10 days, but they do have a decision to make. We'll be watching for that tonight. Now, later up here in the jump, T-Mac and Perk are going to give me their picks for the player most likely to become a household name during the games here in the bubble. And they're picking two guys on the same team. Stick around to find out why. We'll be right back. My next guest, one of our family members here at the network. She worked at ESPN for 20 years before being named Senior Vice President of Disney Springs, Water Parks, and ESPN Wide World of Sports in February of 2020, which, of course, is about a month before everything in the U.S. turned upside down with coronavirus. She's also the first Black female Senior Vice President at Disney. Rosalind Durant, welcome to the jump.
Thank you, Rachel. It's nice to be here with you.
Well, it's very nice to be here in your creation because this is incredible. I can never explain to viewers the level of detail, what you have pulled off here. And you did it in an incredible time with no warning. You come into your new gig and suddenly there's a pandemic that shuts everything down. So not only are you dealing with all the other parts of your job at Disney, you were instrumental in negotiating and navigating the NBA's bubble here. How did it come about?
Well, let me first say that this has been amazing. You can't make this stuff up, right? Like, I literally started, no. Rachel, a couple days before the league suspended the season. And when I say a couple, 2 days. Like, I remember where I was when the ESPN alert pops up on my phone that the NBA is suspending the season. And, you know, as a sports fan, I understood the magnitude of that moment. But of course, no one knew that we'd land in this place today. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, it is incredible. Games start tonight. And as you work with Adam Silver and league officials to develop the plan that we're going to see play out here on this court behind me, what was the biggest obstacle for you guys?
The biggest obstacle? Maybe time. Right? Like, we've been partners for a long time, the Walt Disney Company and Disney. So there are a lot of relationships, the Walt Disney Company and NBA. So there are a lot of relationships. And right here at Walt Disney World, we host the Junior NBA World Championship. So the league has been familiar with our facilities, and we have the NBA experience here. So they know what we can do, and they know how we do things. The Disney way, with the Disney service, and the fact that we were able to provide a pretty unique campus experience that was important to them. So all of that worked to our benefit. I think it was just time. We were trying to do a lot of things, think about the world that we're in, try to find the best and the safest way to do this with not a lot of time to figure it all out.
Yeah, it really is remarkable, because every decision you make in this environment begets 10 more questions and 10 more decisions. Okay, if we're going to do this, then what about that? And I have to say, again, the fact that you guys pulled this off, I cannot express the magnitude of what you have done. And I know that no one's taken victory laps yet, right? We're only at the beginning. We're only on opening night of the restart. We've got a few months to go. But at least right now, the latest announcement of coronavirus test results show that none of the 344 players tested in the past couple weeks have yielded a positive test. So is that what you expected for this restart? And what would success look like in terms of testing results over the next few months?
So here's what I'll tell you. Health and safety have been at the core of every decision we've made and everything that we're doing. You know, the league's focus on this and their commitment, Rachel, is only matched by ours. There are very, very robust health and safety protocols that we're all following and tracking every day. So when I don't have a prediction, but my hope is that we successfully finish this season. And I believe we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to say, I want to direct everyone to hear more from Roslyn, because The Undefeated did a great interview with you. That is on ESPN.com and the app. And one thing you say in that interview is that, isn't it fun to try to do the impossible? That is exactly the kind of attitude that got this done, I think.
It is so fun to do the impossible. And let me say, we have an amazing cast here, and everyone wants it. Everyone wants this season to complete successfully. Everyone wants the NBA and the players to have a good time here. And some of it could be considered impossible, but for us, it's another day doing business as a Disney family, and this is how we do.
Well, another day today is opening night of the NBA restart. Congratulations on making it to this point. Good luck on the rest
of
the way.
Rachel,
we will be following along right with you. Thank you so much for joining us, Roslyn.
Thank you so much.
She is amazing. All right, guys, we are expecting tonight to not just be fun, but very meaningful. The Pelicans and Jazz discussing a plan to kneel together during the national anthem. Our Malika Andrews has been told that's going to happen near the on-court Black Lives Matter signage. And tonight is when the social justice messaging on players' jersey will debut. The Celtics provided a sneak peek at what Jason Tatum's jersey looks like, Black Lives Matter. Meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell will have Say Her Name on the back of his jersey to honor Breonna Taylor. So, Tracy, starting with you, what are your expectations for the types of protesting demonstrations we'll see tonight and throughout the restart here?
Well, I suspect we'll see some, you know, unified union within our players, whether that's guys taking a knee, whether that's guys not coming out for the national anthem, guys having the messages on the back of their jerseys. I just want to applaud our league for giving those guys the opportunity to express themselves during this time. What I'm most proud about, though, and you know, I think we all should be, is there are players that don't look like me, look like Kendrick, that are in this fight with us. Guys like Kyle Korver. Now, that means the world to us. So I want to applaud guys like that for bringing awareness as well. So salute to those dudes.
Yeah, hey, Mac, I'm right there with you. And you know what, Rachel, Mac? I just want to know where all the doubters that doubted the bubble and said that the NBA coming back was going to be a distraction to everything that's going on in the world. And it hasn't been. To me, it's brought more awareness to what's going on. Guys have been more creative. Guys have speaking out every time they've been on camera, saying whether it was, you know, justice for Breonna Taylor, whether to go vote, et cetera, et cetera. It's a beautiful job. And just think about it. Us talking about what ideas they're coming up with, that's still bringing awareness to the world. So, right? And then the NBA, Adam Silver, Black Lives Matter, biggest day on the court, bigger than the NBA Finals logo when you make it to the finals. So, well, job well done by all the people that's in the bubble to make sure that we continue to bring awareness and come up with ideas dealing with social justice and voting. I'm so proud of it.
Absolutely. I got to credit the players here. They have not let any topic, any messaging die out. They have kept it at the forefront of every discussion they have, and I expect more of that tonight. I'm really, really looking forward to what they do here. All right, coming up, I sat down with Ja Morant to discuss a number of topics, including how he thinks the idea of playing games not so fair to the Grizzlies. Coming out of that conversation, we'll discuss if we agree. That's next on The Jump. So what is it like after 4 months of waiting to know that you're about to finally play basketball that counts again?
Finally, you know, happy again. Been waiting for this, you know, time for a while now. Was able to, you know, come out here with my teammates, all healthy, you know, start to, you know, practice to get back. How we were playing before the season ended to try to make a push.
You did a lot during the shutdown, but one of the most important things I saw was that you publicly called for the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee to be taken down in the city of Murray, Kentucky, which is, of course, where you went to school. And I want to read just a line from this, a letter you wrote. You said, "As a young black man, I cannot express enough how disturbing and oppressive it is to know the city still honors a Confederate war general defending white supremacy and hatred." Why was it important for you to write that letter?
I feel like for me now, in the platform that I have, I can, you know, speak up. I know a lot of people will see it and, you know, that I'll be heard. After the letter, you know, I felt good. Definitely, you know, it was a relief. I held back on a lot of things before, but, you know, after, like, talking with my parents and, you know, realizing the platform that I have, after I spoke up, I feel good.
Let's talk about the basketball side of your summer, too. The NBA Awards, voting just wrapped. You are the consensus rookie of the year. How does that feel?
Definitely feels good. As of now, I can't say that's my main focus. You know, I have some games to play, trying to make the playoffs, but just from, you know, where I came from, what I've done to get here, the things I went through, it's definitely, you know, an honor. I'm blessed.
I want to go back a year ago to draft night. You actually sat with us on our jump set, but most of the attention that night was on Zion Williamson, everyone talking about him being the next coming of LeBron, and he still might be, right? But if I had gone and whispered to you, hey, you're going to be the rookie of the year, what would you have thought in that moment?
My mindset is always me. I would never sit here and say, you know, somebody is better than me or none of that. You know, I'm working to, you know, prove myself each and every night. So I'm always take me.
You do have such incredible confidence on the court. We have heard you trash talk from time to time, including some heavy hitter former MVPs, NBA veterans. Now we're in this Orlando situation where there isn't a crowd to cover up what you're saying. Do you think you were going to be just as vocal as you were before?
Yeah, I don't think that'll change at all. I feel like the TV just had to be muted.
I think people are going to want to hear you, Ja.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, I just, it's just my competitive nature. Get caught up in the game and, you know, I just get to talking. That's, you know, when I feel like I'm the best Ja, so.
Have you ever walked away from, trash talk James Harden. Like, have you walked away and been like, maybe I shouldn't have done that?
Nah, never. I never dug any action. I'm always be, you know, 10 toes and, you know, still go out there and prove who I am to anybody.
So I think that you guys, the Grizzlies, are in the most fascinating position in the NBA going into this restart. You were at eighth in the West, and yet the NBA has come out and said, hey, after these seeding games, if any other Western Conference team is within four of you in the standings, you guys have to do playing games to see who's actually going to make the playoffs. Is that fair?
Honestly, I don't think so. But we can't control that. The only thing we can control is how we, you know, go out and attack each of these games before that decision is made.
You can turn that to good, right? That if you guys don't think it's fair, you can have a little chip on your shoulder.
Yeah,
is that how you're going to approach these games?
Yes, I just feel like it's an extra chip, you know, more fuel to the fire, more motivation for us. But like, you know, coming into this season, I think we was projected to be 29th. And look at us now. So, you know, we just use that as fuel. You just continue to work. We're all very hungry, and we know what we're capable of, so we just go out and play.
Many thanks to Ja for sitting down with me, you know, sitting down 6 feet away, but still, for this conversation. So, Tracy, Ja said that the play-in games are unfair to the Grizz because they hold a 3.5-game lead over a three-way tie for ninth place. They feel like they earned that eighth spot. So Memphis will have to get to 4.5 ahead to even avoid a play-in game. Do you agree with him, Tracy? It's unfair?
No, I don't agree with my brother, Ja. And, you know, I love this kid's game. Like I said, he's going to be arguably the best player in this league in years to come. But I got to disagree with him. We're talking about 17 games that they had left before the pandemic hit. You only have 8 games in the bubble to make the playoffs. I would want those to play those 8 games out, opposed to playing out 17 games in the regular season to try to make the playoffs when, you know, the Pelicans had Zion who was injured. Portland was going through some injuries. Now everybody is healthy. And you should want to face that competition. You got 8 games to hold on to that A spot. Now, it's going to be extremely tough with, you know, Zion being back. You know, Nurkic is back for Portland. Melo, skinny Melo, is looking good with Dame and those boys. So it's going to be extremely challenging. But, you know, he should be happy it's only 8 games opposed to 17 games.
Well, T-Mac, I got to disagree with you. I think it's unfair. But listen, life has been unfair in the basketball world for Ja Morant since he's been in high school. Not being a top recruit, going to a mid-level D1, and then all of a sudden had to shine, and then all of a sudden get drafted number 2. When I said on the jump with you, Rachel, and told y'all that, yep, I wouldn't have been surprised, or if I was the GM, I would have picked them number 1. This,
yep,
kid is a generational talent. We already know this. But one thing I know about Ja Morant, he loves to go against the odds. And when he seems like something is unfair, he always bounces back and rises to the occasion. So I'm looking forward to this man
because
he's been playing phenomenal.
I'm not letting you get away with that, Perk. It's unfair because of what? Why is it unfair?
Because it's unfair. It's unfair. It's unfair, T-Mac, for the simple fact that, and you know that we had 17 games left in the season, right? I understand that. But being back 4.5 games, that's a lot of games to make up in just 17 games, to be honest with you. That's a lot of games to make up. And to me, you played 59 games thus far. You shouldn't have been in that situation from the jump. Ja Morant has played 59 games, and the Memphis Grizzlies have played inspired basketball, and they deserve that number 8 spot. They're not fighting for it. They're in it. And they deserve to be there and not have to play a play-in tournament in case a team finished, 4.5 games behind them. That's not fair.
Well, see, I agree with both of you guys because I both think that the Memphis Grizzlies kind of got a tough break here. I mean, they're not the only ones in 2020. They did get a tough break here with that. That being said, I love the idea of a playing game, and I hope it lasts way past this year. So I like both sides of it. What can I tell you? Coming up, guys, we're going to talk about a lot more. Which team is most likely to win the East? Find out about after the break. We're going to discuss our bubble superlatives. Who's most likely? We're going to get the yearbook out. You're watching The Jump.
Dad, they're going to try to compete for a championship.
Whoever wants it more, that's the team that's going to come on top.
We need this one. Energy, energy.
That looks like the likely MVP.
This game warmed up.
Tomorrow, the NBA on ESPN is back. Celtics Bucks at 6:30 Eastern. Then it's the Rockets and Mavs on ESPN, Deportes, and the app. Our coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 6 o'clock Eastern. Welcome back. I am courtside here in Orlando, where the first games of the NBA restart officially kicking back off tonight. Perk, T-Mac still in the house with me. And guys, it's time to predict some bubble superlatives. You know, I always say the NBA is like high school, so we get a little yearbook feel to this. Everything. First up, Tracy, which team is most likely to win the East?
Really? Come on. You know I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks with this year's MVP, with the best player in the Eastern Conference, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With those boys around, this is a deep team. This is a motivated team. I suspect Giannis learned from last year. Failure in the playoffs. He's going to come back stronger this year. He's going to be consistent on his jumper so they can't deny him to get to the basket. It's going to open up this whole game. I am going with the Milwaukee Bucks led by Budenholzer.
Hey, T-Mac, look, I guess we're going to disagree all show. That's fine with me because I feel sorry for your loss if you're going with the Milwaukee Bucks. The whole time you talked about him, you talked about one person, and that was Giannis. The problem I have with the Milwaukee Bucks is that they don't have a certified Robin. And in order to win the championship, you need
Chris
a Batman
Middleton?
And a Robin. He disappears in the playoffs. He have a phenomenal season in the regular season, and he disappears in the playoffs. Him and Eric Bledsoe, I need them to step it up. But I'm going with the Toronto Raptors. Yes, Rachel. Oh, Canada. I know I originally picked the Celtics, but I can't go with them because T-Mac put it on my mind about the issue that Kemba is dealing with his knee. But I'm going with the defending champs.
Oh,
they are deep across the board. They are.
I am not letting you do this today on this show.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
way.
I am. Yes, I am. Listen, I got to change because if Kemba is not healthy, listen, T-Mac, listen. Kemba scared me the other night when he only played
no,
nine.
I'm not
when he
you
only
do
played
that.
Nine.
No,
no.
You said 75% Kemba can get it done.
No,
we're not letting you do that on this show.
I'm doing it.
No, you ain't getting away with that.
I'm doing it.
You going with the Boston Celtics.
The season haven't started. Listen. Kemba is not healthy for real, though, T-Mac, and he only played 9 minutes, and it's a real concern, seriously. But I got to go with the Raptors. Here you go. The Raptors are so deep. They're battle-tested. They got feisty guards. They rank third in the league defensively.
And they don't
they
have
play
Kawhi
beautiful
Leonard.
Basketball so, on so, the offensive so who, end.
So they don't have Kawhi Leonard, so who's going to be their go-to
they
guy?
They don't need him because guess what? They have multiple guys that step up. Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam,
and the Milwaukee
Serge Ibaka, Norman
Tracy,
Powell.
Tracy, remember, Pascal Siakam is in Kendrick's top 10, which we're going to get to later. Perk, I got to ask. Wait, Perk. You got to give us your West pick because we got to move on here. Give me your West pick because Tracy's gonna, I'm sure he's going to have an issue with that too.
Listen. You cannot win the NBA championships with having bigs to anchor your defense. And guess who got three of them? The Los Angeles Lakers. I'm not even about to brag on LeBron James or they guard play that they added with Deion Waiters and JR. But just thinking about those three bigs that got those 40-inch verticals, give me the Los Angeles Lakers. That's who's coming out of the West.
My preseason pick was the Los Angeles Clippers. I am sticking with the Clippers, even though we had a pandemic and we're restarting this season and everything is just out of whack. I am going with the Los Angeles Clippers. The MVP of the finals last year and Kawhi Leonard is healthy. He's rested. Paul George is rested and healthy. You got Patrick Beverley. You got a Lou Williams who's in quarantine for about 10 days that's getting ready. They added Reggie Jackson. This is the deepest team in the West, deepest team in the NBA, period.
I am going with the Los Angeles Clippers and Doc Rivers to come out of the Western Conference. Although I will love to see LeBron James win the championship for my brother Kobe Bryant.
Yo, you can't straddle the fence. You can't straddle the fence, T-Mac.
Listen, I lost a brother this year, man. I want to see my boy LeBron get it for Kobe.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I want to see it. But I have the Clippers to win it.
Let me fall back. I could agree. All right.
Absolutely. You know, you can't say Tracy McGrady without Kobe. The two of you will always be locked together. I love that from you, Mac. Tracy, I also wanted to ask you, who is the most likely to become a household name down here in Orlando? What do you think?
Well, initially, I wanted to go with my brother. I had two guys on Boston. Really, I wanted to go with Jaylen Brown, but I saw how Jason Tatum came on during this season and before everything stopped. This kid was on a mission. I think he figured it out. He was extremely confident. He had that swag with him when he stepped on the basketball court. Well, I think Jason Tatum is going to have a breakout playoff season, and we're going to be talking about this kid for the next 10 years as one of the greats to play this game.
Well, hey, Mac, listen, I can't disagree with you on that. I think Danny Ainge should sign Jason Tatum to a lifetime deal. But I'm going with Jaylen Brown, Rachel. Jaylen Brown is becoming one of the better two-way – well, he's one of the top two-way players in the game today. He's a guy that can get you 20-plus points on 50% shooting and lock you up on the other end. He don't get the credit that he do, but he does it on a consistent basis, night in and night out. And I'm watching him down there in those scrimmages, and he been making noise. So I got my money on Jaylen. Go stand out in this bubble.
Listen, I can't deny that. I mean, Jay is one of my favorite players. You know, I trained Jay, so that's my man. He's part of the family, Adidas families. So I love that pick too, Perk.
We finally agree.
There you go. I know our producers wanted one of you guys to say Luka Doncic. I think the man we just spoke to in the last segment, John Morant, is going to jump out of the gym during these next 2 weeks, but we will see. Guys, we got to take a break because up next we're going to talk about the Knicks. They formally introduced Tom Thibodeau is their next head coach. He's coached both of you gentlemen. So after the break, we will discuss why Tibbs called New York his dream job and what these guys think of it. Stay with us. Two more WNBA games for you on ESPN and the app. The Storm take on the Mystics at 6 o'clock Eastern, and it's the Sun and the Sparks at 10 o'clock Eastern from the IMG Bubble in Bradenton, Florida. And it's crunch time here on The Jump, brought to you by FanDuel. It's official, guys. Tom Thibodeau is the new head coach of the Knicks. He spoke earlier today. Take a listen.
Very excited today to be here. This is a dream come true for me. This is my dream job. I've been there before. I have a great understanding of New York. I think we have the best city in the world, we have the best arena in the world, and we have the best fans in the world.
Kendrick, do you think your old assistant coach will be able to change the way that free agents feel about the New York Knicks?
Well, listen, Rachel. Listen, Tibbs was brought there to develop a winning culture. They got a guy by the name of William Wesley that they hired. They call him Worldwide West for a reason. He's going to be the guy out there going to get the free agent. Tibbs is going to be in doing all the dirty work and making sure guys play hard every night. That's what Tibbs do.
Yeah, I mean, the leadership that's under Dolan now, Worldwide West, Leon Rose, Scott Perry, these boys, they're going to attract free agents. And with Tibbs being the leader of these men, coaching them, bringing a winning culture there, there's no doubt in my mind that this is an attractive place now.
That's not the way it has been, so I'm very interested to hear you guys say that. I guess we will see. The proof will be this offseason. Yeah. All right, guys, you know how when your favorite TV show comes back from hiatus, they do that previously on thingy before the restart? Well, we did that for a bunch of the teams who'll be competing in Orlando. And so for the last time before the games resume, it's time for another installment of Previously On, this time the LA Lakers.
I know that you have had to apologize to your mother since you started being courtside at your son's games?
When I was growing up, my mom used to be one of the loudest people in the stands. I used to be like, Mom, you got to sit down. What are you doing, Mom? Like, you're embarrassing me. I know exactly how it feels to be a parent.
Can we take a moment, please, to appreciate Snoop going on the Lakers broadcast for a little gin and juice play-by-play?
Let's go. Push that, LBJ. Run that point.
Bron just taking over the game
now. Come on, Bron. Walk into the park. That's a walk in the park right there. We call that cake mix.
Everyone should have seen this coming. The Lakers have two of the top five players in the league.
They complement each other well. They do all the heavy lifting.
But Alex Caruso, also known as the Bald Eagle, soars in. Who coined
more
the nickname?
Evidence.
That's what I would like to know.
I don't know, but it's great. Oh, they had a trademark it.
Look at LeBron pulling off the most low-key travel in NBA history. LeBron James with the chase down block on Solomon Hill last night. I mean, Richard, how is this still happening in year 17?
I don't know. Like, Solomon, you grew up watching him.
Because according to Defensive Real Plus Minus, guess what? LeBron James is at the top of the list.
By having those helicopters in the paint, LeBron is playing the defense he wants to play, not that Patrick Beverley full-court pressure defense. He's playing free safety.
It's tough to cover. You know, you got a guy like him going downhill, a guy like me who's rolling, you know, who's a lob threat. You got to pick your poison.
Tonight, we celebrate the kid that came here at 18 years of age. Retired at 38 and became probably the best dad that we've seen over the last 3 years, man. So in the words of Kobe Bryant, Mamba out, but in the words of us, not forgotten. Live on, brother.
I'm just amazed that they talk about anybody other than him for MVP.
But he's in the Michael Jordan realm. We don't appreciate him enough. We just expect him to do this.
LeBron is the most impactful player on the floor in ways that Giannis can't be. He's a better passer than him. He makes guys around him better.
And yeah, there you go. Thanks, Kuz. It is becoming very clear. This is not just another team. They are contenders.
They can do it, but it's got to be perfect. Their margin for error was narrower. I think the Clippers are a better team.
Who's going to score against the Los Angeles Clippers?
I know.
I mean, it's incredible.
J.R. Smith, Rajon Rondo, Jared Dudley, Danny Green, go on down this roster. It's an old team, and they're all looking at it like this could be our last best chance to win a championship in our careers.
Woof, what a ride to get here. Clippers-Lakers tonight. Tracy McGrady, who you got?
Clips. Going with the Clips. Who you got, Pert?
Let me guess.
I got D.R. Waiters, J.R. Smith, and Dwight Howard. That's who I got. D.R. Waiters, J.R. Smith, and Dwight Howard.